Hello and welcome to the It Depends podcast. I am your host. My name is Kevin Goldsmith. I am a chief technology officer, advisor to companies, board member, and I wrote a book. The book is called It Depends, Writing on Technology Leadership 2012 to 2022. And in this podcast, we are serializing the audiobook. So every episode, you get a chapter or two from that book, if this is your first time here. If it isn't, welcome back. So first of all, I have to say thank you to those of you who have rated this podcast. I've seen ratings popping up, all 5 stars so thus far. Thank you very much. If you haven't, please do. I would very much appreciate it. I've been very happy to see that every episode, listening numbers go up. My goal here was not to create a successful podcast. My goal was to inform and tell folks and, you know, obviously sell some copies of the book, which that is also happening well and starting to see some reviews and places on bookstores. Again, if you have the book, would very much appreciate you rating it at whatever bookstore. There's not a massive marketing engine behind a book like this. So anything that, if you enjoyed the book, if you got value from the book, if you get value from this podcast, please, please, please spread the word. Please share it and please rate it. I would very much appreciate it. Thank you. For those of you who are new, you'll also hear me talk about the newsletter. This podcast comes out every other week. On the weeks this podcast doesn't come out, there's a newsletter. That newsletter is serializing the text of the book. That newsletter serializes the chapters out of order because these were each independent articles written at different times. So that works just fine. This podcast is serializing them in order. So you can subscribe to both. You get different things in both. If you're interested in getting more information about the book, if you want to subscribe to the newsletter, if you want to share a link to this podcast to somebody else, you can go to itdependsbook.net. That has all the information. If there's a question you have or a question you'd like me to answer either on the podcast or in the newsletter or just direct to you, please email me contact@itdependsbook.net and tell me if it's okay to answer it either in the newsletter or on the podcast, if it's okay to use your name. I'd appreciate it. We are now into section 3 of the book as of this episode. So the first section is about engineering culture. The second section is about career development. And we just concluded that with the last episode called Becoming a CTO. We are now into the section on managing teams. So this chapter is chapter 11, Creating a Vernacular with Your Engineering Team. And I wrote this article because I was thinking about this idea of words and how we use them. And I think about it for a few reasons. And I use some examples in the book and in the article, like done, like agile, that are words that are very commonly used. But I think one of the reasons why I think about this kind of vocabulary of your team a lot is because I worked at Spotify during the height of the Spotify model. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Spotify model, it's in the book. And there's a zillion references about it online. But it's essentially, it was the Spotify team organizational structure. But the Spotify model had its own unique vernacular that was referenced in the white paper that was written about it, in videos about it, in numerous conference talks from people from Spotify talking about it. And those words gained a life of their own in the industry. It is very common that I'll be talking to a leader from another company and they start talking to me about their guilds, or they describe their teams as squads, or maybe they use words like chapter or tribe. These are words that certainly predated Spotify, but used in this way I was unaware of any other company that did this before Spotify. I'm aware of lots of companies that have done it since. The problem is when people will say to me, yeah, so this guild was over here doing this, you know, this guild meeting, this happened, and they're describing something to their company. I'll say, oh, okay, you have guilds. Tell me about your guilds. And they'll describe something that's completely different than what I would think of as guilds. And I'll sometimes say, you know, if especially if I'm talking to a senior leader, don't use other people's words. Make up your own words. If you're going to do something that's unique to your company, make up your own words for those things. One, because anyone joining your company who has read the Spotify white paper, seen the video, let alone worked at Spotify, comes in and you're constantly talking about guilds and they're constantly saying, wait a second, they're constantly having to translate in their head what you think, you know, your version of that word. But also, you know, especially if you're a senior leader, let's say you've kind of defined some of your own team structures or you've defined some of your own ways of doing things. That genius of Spotify, and it was never intended this way, that genius of creating its own vocabulary, and that, by the way, the reason they did it, because I know, because I talked to the people, was because they were trying to describe something that didn't exist. So they had to pick words for them. They weren't taking something that was the same as somebody else and just inventing a new word for it. They were trying to distinguish what they were doing and building at Spotify from what everybody else was doing. But the genius of actually creating new words for these things was an incredible, unintentional branding piece for the company. When you say chapter, squad, guild, tribe, everyone knows you're talking about Spotify. Or, well, maybe at this point it's been long enough that people might think you're talking about something else, but certainly for a long time, people immediately knew you were talking about the Spotify model. And for me, as a senior leader at Spotify, trying to recruit people, wow, that branding, that's some amazing employer branding. And it also gives you, it's communicating out your culture to people in a way that means that when they reach out, when they apply to a job, they hopefully at least have an idea of the kind of company they're joining and what they'll be getting into. That vocabulary is valuable. I do not really talk about this in the chapter. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up in the podcast. But that's another whole value of the aspect to this. The chapter is really about just understanding that any group of people is going to create their own vocabulary. As I talk about in the chapter, you may have this with your family. You probably have this with your friends. You're definitely going to have it with your team. And it might be subtle. And because it's subtle and it certainly evolves over time, it may be something that's unconscious until you have a new person join. And now you say something and they're like, sorry, what does this mean? What does this word mean that you're all using? I don't understand it. And one of the examples I use in the chapter, deployify. What does it mean to deployify, right? That language that you've created is actually something that brings your group together. It's a positive thing. It's not something you should try and get rid of. It's something you should encourage. But because it's helping to define your team and because you want to onboard people into your team and because you want to make sure you understanding this word the same, what I argue in the chapter is that it's actually important to build a glossary, and the discussion about the glossary is a great team bonding exercise. It's a great way to spend a couple hours at an offsite, or you complete a big release and you want to give everybody a break and you don't want to just jump into the next set of work. You want to put some team building time in there. This is a great thing to spend a couple hours, or even if you're depending on how long your team's been together, maybe an afternoon. Should you, and I don't talk about this in the chapter, but should you kind of go out of your way to create new words? Definitely not. At least in my opinion, right? It depends. It depends on you and your team. I think if it's forced, it won't stay, right? This kind of stuff happens. These vernaculars happen because somebody says something and somebody else thinks it's funny or thinks it's a cool way of saying it. And then they start to say it. It happens in a very natural and organic way. If you try and force it, it generally is not going to work. Again, unless like Spotify, you're inventing a new word and you're trying to distinguish a process or a framework or a team structure from something that currently exists because it's different. That's maybe one case where you want to force it, but that's really this kind of vernacular that I talk about in the chapter. It's much better if it's organic, and it's much better if it comes from the team kind of bottom up. It's not something a leader should kind of try and push down. If you are the leader of the team and you're trying to encourage a word or define a word, use it yourself. And if other people start to pick it up and use it kind of with each other, even when you're not around, that'll tell you like, oh no, people actually appreciate it. So, you know, me having worked at Microsoft, a lot of stuff that is still in my vocabulary, and I'm sometimes embarrassed about when I say something, I realize, oh, wow, that's a Microsoftism. And those of you who work at Microsoft and those of you who worked at Microsoft for a long time, you can probably know exactly what years I worked there. If I'm talking to you and I say a phrase like, let's party on the data, let's double click on that. There's other phrases like, you know, there's something a product manager once said to me called, let's bring everybody under the trust tree, which means let's have a conversation and everybody needs to know that they can't repeat it. And it's the kind of thing like, certainly with these types of phrases, you know, sometimes people would say them to me with almost sort of an ironic kind of tone or kind of smirk when they said it, because it is such a weird phrase. And then I would say it with a sort of sarcastic intent. And I'd say again with a sarcastic intent. And then eventually that's just what I say. And every once in a while you'll hear me whip out a phrase like that, not in this book and hopefully not on the podcast, because it is kind of embarrassing. I feel weird when I say it, but I still sometimes say it now, ironically, but also I still say it, even though it's long divorced from the original context. And the reason I said it and the reason I picked it up as a phrase was because when it was sort of a unique way of describing a particular situation or whatever. In my case, I have an ear for these kind of business, silly business jargon. I like to make fun of it. And I make fun of it until all of a sudden it's what I say. A lot of people are like that. In any case, if you're trying to adapt or there's a word you like or phrase you like to use and trying to get your team to adopt it, use it. If they like it, they'll use it. If you try and force it, people will feel like it's really inauthentic, it's really forced, and they won't use it. So, you know, if there's something you think is a good phrase to use it, and people will adopt it if they like. So now, here is chapter 11 from It Depends, Creating a Vernacular with Your Engineering Team. Building a Vernacular with Your Engineering Team, originally published January 8, 2021. Teams consist of people. People communicate via common language. The base unit of most languages is words. The impact of language. Whether written or spoken, words are essential, both the general terms we use and those specific to our work. The terms and phrases that are specific to our jobs or our companies create a vernacular. The definition of vernacular, according to Merriam-Webster, is the mode of expression of a group or class. Our vernacular separates software developers from lawyers, Amazon employees from Microsoft employees, and your team from the other teams in your company. The words and phrases that we use in team discussions give us a shorthand. They save time. Instead of saying, okay, deploy this to production, let the support team know that it is going live, and then let marketing know once it has gone to 50% of active users, your team may just say, let's deployify it. The larger context is defined and understood in the vernacular of your team. One of the challenges of joining a new company or a new team is learning the vernacular. One of the significant struggles of team forming or cross-team communication is the different definitions for the same words. Consider the word agile. To you, it may mean Scrum, because your only experience working in agile teams was working with the Scrum framework. For me, it may mean Kanban, or a set of principles not tied to any specific framework. If we are on the same team and I say that I think we should work in an agile way, we could have very different interpretations of what that means, which may inadvertently create tension in the team. Done is another word that often leads to problems, both for a development lead and between teams. A developer on your team says that their feature is done. They mean that they finished the code, that they tested the code, that they deployed it to the staging environment, that the code is running in production, that the A/B tests for the code have completed. Having clarity on the meaning of words is critical. Companies will often create glossaries of the terms and phrases in everyday use to help onboard new employees. You should do the same for your team for the words and phrases your team uses day to day. As a leader, you should also deliberately cultivate your team vernacular. Creating a team vernacular. Creating a team vernacular is a simple way to drive team unity, identity, and alignment around best practices. A simple way to start building a team vernacular is to use a group meeting to identify and define the words and phrases used in the team. You can get the discussion started by spending a few weeks taking note of words or phrases that come up often in team discussions. Terms such as done, tested, shipped, agile, stuck, autonomy, microservice, or waiting may have different definitions from different people on a team. Ask the team what they think each of these words means. If there is a general agreement, add it to your team glossary. Don't stress over creating a perfect definition for each word. You can reference a dictionary definition or a definitive blog post if you want, but your goal is team consensus around the meaning, nothing more. Once the team establishes the primary vernacular, update it as necessary. Clarify the definitions of the new terms introduced. If someone uses a word in a new way, ask, what does that word mean to you? If you don't recognize a term that others are using, ask the team for the definition. Add these new words and phrases to your glossary. Over time, the meanings of words will change as they understand new subtleties or gain new skills. When this happens, append or replace the existing definitions. Using your vernacular to train the team. Creating consistency in the words you use or introducing new words is also a valuable way to train your team or introduce new concepts. You may find that there is debate within the team about the constraints for a system to be called a microservice. This debate is an opportunity to find blog posts or a book for the team to read together and discuss to create the definition for the team glossary. If you want to understand secure coding practices better, you could watch a conference talk as a team and then discuss what words and techniques you could introduce into your vernacular. As you build your glossary, include the phrase and what it means to your team and the references your team used to arrive at that meaning. Your dictionary can then become an onboarding tool, a training tool, and a reference to share with other groups. Vernaculars happen. Groups of friends, coworkers, teams, and families all create unique vernaculars over time. The in-jokes you have with friends, the shorthand you have with your partner, the CEO's catchphrase. Be aware of this, be deliberate about it within your team, and use this naturally occurring phenomenon to your advantage. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed that chapter. I hope it was informative at some level. Hope you found value from it. If you did, please rate the podcast wherever you're listening to it. Please share it. If there's somebody else you know that you think could get value from it, I would very much appreciate it. Thanks again. I'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening. Please, again, subscribe, rate, share episodes of this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Thanks again. I'll see you soon. Thanks to Answer Staple for the music in this podcast. This podcast is a production of Unit Circle Media.